Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the debut episode of Flesh Wound Farce. I am the world's first and only combination trivia host and professional wrestling announcer, Chilean Desette, that currently resides in Southern California, Ozzy V. And with me, as always, on this program, as you see from the Northern Bay Area, is Greg. Say hello, Greg.
Hey, how's it going, Ozzy?
I'm doing fantastic, and I just need to specify when I say Northern Bay, California. I don't want to assume somebody thinks we're in New York or anything like that. As we would have accents, though, wouldn't we? Anyhow, Todd, producer, how you doing? Chilling?
I am chilling.
Excellent. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this debut episode. And just because I'm wearing a Spaceball shirt, I didn't even realize I grabbed a shirt out of the closet of Spaceballs. We're not talking about Spaceballs today. We're talking about Repossessed. It is the month of October, the month of Halloween. So we're going to have a few Halloween farce comedies we're going to watch, we're going to review, we're going to talk about them. And I'm glad that you're joining us here, whether it be video or audio, either way. Now, today, as I mentioned, we are talking about Repossessed. This 1990 film is a parody of the famous horror movie, The Exorcist. Linda Blair plays a housewife who becomes possessed, or rather repossessed, by the devil while watching TV. I just got a cut right there. I apologize. And I don't mean cut right there, an actual like, oh, Todd, producer, cut right here. No, I got to stop this synopsis right here real quick. Because this movie was the devil. The original was a demon, or was it actually the devil? Because I saw The Exorcist when it was remade. I'm sorry, re-released in the theaters like back in early 2000s.
More like 95.
Was it 95 that it was released in theaters? Because yeah. I remember seeing it in the theater. I know it wasn't 1995. Are you sure there wasn't another re-release?
The version you haven't seen, I'd have to look up.
No. I'm not talking about like a remake. I'm talking about the original. No.
The version you never seen was the version of The Exorcist that they added. Like, it was basically an extended cut. So I don't even know if it was an anniversary, but they added the footage, some extra footage, like the spider walk and some other cool things.
Yes, I remember the spider walk specifically. Okay, so yeah, so I apologize, but like that was a demon. This was the devil.
That was Pazuzu.
Pazuzu. That was nearly 20 years ago for me. So continue with the synopsis. Leslie Nielsen plays Father May I, who gets called to exorcise the intrusive being. Now, some of the other cast has mentioned Linda Blair, Leslie Nielsen. You also have Ned Beatty there, also known as Otis from Superman and also from Deliverance. Todd tells me I've never seen it. Can't speak to that. So this is the first time I've seen this movie on unedited, because I saw it on TBS a long time ago. Because I never saw this VHS or DVD anywhere, you know, at the time of Blockbuster, whatever. So this is my first time seeing it in its theatrical form, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. How about you guys?
Well, Ozzy, we had talked about Biodome not too long ago,
how something
is dated and it's hard, and I can't enjoy it. I've realized something when it comes to films that pride themselves on going to a level of stupid. And I think that this movie prides itself on its stupid level. When you decide to go into the sea of stupidity, you can't just dip your toe in. And I think that's what Biodome did. I think it dipped its toe into it and didn't fully embrace it. This movie, man, it dove headfirst into stupid, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Like, it was fantastic. Some of the jokes were definitely dated, and I had to look up some of them to understand what they meant. But there was a lot of fantastic stuff about the movie. I don't know if we want to go into detail right now or just a quick synopsis of my thoughts.
Just a quick. Recap of your thoughts and we'll get to a deeper dive.
Yeah. So all in all, it was my first time watching it. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Had a good laugh.
Todd?
It was, you know, I haven't seen it. Two things real quick. Exorcist re-release was 2000. So
that's what it was. Okay. That's what I saw.
And this came out in 1990.
Yes,
I remember going and seeing it in the theater, whatever September day it was. And I loved it then. I loved it when I had it on home video, but I haven't watched it in probably 20 years. Right. So I was kind of worried if it was going to hold up, but I loved it still. I forget about the R-rated material because, like you mentioned, you'd seen it cut. I just don't remember like there being nudity in some of the jokes, but it's been 20 years. So
right.
I thought it was tamer. My memory had it tamer in my head.
Right. I just loved how Greg, as you mentioned, going diving full head on with stupidity. It's very similar to Airplane in that sense where, I mean, we'll go into detail a little bit, but one specifically where I was dying was a close-up on Father May-I's face and his head squishes into it and he just pushes it back, doesn't say a word, and just gives a look. Like, that's the perfect, like, he knew what, or whoever directed, they knew what needed to be or how much of it was needed. And they didn't just overdo it, because somebody overdo it, they would have, like, you know, said something or whatever. But it was just that look, that annoyed look, that just nonverbal, you know.
Well, even when you overdo it, like the tire damage moment where they back up and for those who haven't seen it, there's a spike strip and it says, if you do not reverse, tire damage. So they reverse and a bunch of tires fall from the sky and fall on them. That would have been funny, but they took it that extra step. And the next scene, you see this tire rolling by with completely different characters. That was the icing on the cake. That was the diving head first into the sea of stupidity.
Definitely felt like watching a live action cartoon.
Yeah.
That's what makes these movies so hilarious.
I do have a trivia bit, kind of a joke that might have went over everyone's head.
Sure.
In the original Exorcist, Linda Blair plays Reagan. In this one, she plays Nancy Reagan. That's what.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. That's brilliant.
And that, in case you haven't seen that, that's correct. The original actress who played
Linda Blair,
but
played Reagan
in the original Exorcist, plays the same role, but different name. So that's
if Pugs is watching, there's a debate if it's Reagan or Regan, but for this joke, it's Reagan.
It would make the most sense if it was Reagan.
Okay, you want another trivia bit?
Absolutely.
Okay. When Father Marin's like talking to the Father Marin, that's the original. Father May-I is talking to the class. Linda Blair's in the front row, but she's wearing glasses and has a different outfit and is just like basically sitting there playing a different part. I don't know if you noticed that.
I did not.
So one of the bits that I timing for this movie was a bittersweet thing. Joke timing, fantastic. Like the narrative when they're at the church and you see they're talking about walking the street, and then it pans by streetwalkers waiting in line for the church. Like the narrative fitting with the visual, but with two different contexts. Brilliant. But then you got like timing issues, like with the age of the joke. Like I said, I had to look up something. I had a military guy going to confession and talking to his lawyer. I'm guessing that was something about Oliver North. Had no clue who that was until I looked everything up. So unfortunately, some of those jokes do get lost. But then
at the same time, like right before that happened, you had the big line for confessions and then the express line, 8 sins or less.
It's still,
I mean, you know, with supermarkets.
And surprisingly, some jokes that were meant for its era, funny enough, hold true today. The thing where they're in the new studio and it has the new TV lineup where it's got the new Beverly Hills and the new, you know, whatever. It's got the new different everything of older shows. And you look at things today and you're like, oh, well, that joke still holds. They're still rehashing the new MacGyver and the new.
And it's so subtle that's what makes it even more brilliant. It's the subtleties and the details that they didn't feel the need to, you know, it again, like just enough, like still, they were able to overdo, but it was just to the right amount.
Right, right. And there's some jokes that we've forgotten about that were comedy tropes that I forgot that I missed, such as chase scenes in which you plow through a fruit cart out of fire, or the shadow jokes that we've lost track of, where, you know, you got the shadow in the background that does something stupid. You know, like, I feel like this movie brought back a lot of great feelings of old comedy that we've sadly lost track of.
And just a quick little, I mean, bit of trivia inside joke here. So when they, the evangelist is pushing the exorcist to the network executives, and they say, "Hope you don't mind doing a deal with the devil." And the executive says, "How do you think Love Boat got on the air?" So check this out. The writer and director was Bob Logan. Bob Logan was credited by writing the story for episode 1 for The Love Boat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no kidding. That's awesome.
Fine. So it's a great callback by the director there.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but the son of Linda Blair, was he not one of the stars of that movie? Like, the repeated callback to the original joke of 20 bucks says it's PMS. My God, I haven't laughed so hard with that repetition of a joke.
The entire movie that had me rolling just from start to finish. Because I was at the very beginning. That particular actor, that son, I have the full cast in front of me, but I can't get to the actual role. Like, it's not being listed as Nancy's son.
Ned is his name. The actor's name is Benji Tahil.
Yes. So he looked very familiar to me. I just found him here, and that's who it was. He's the kid from Homeward Bound.
No kidding.
Because he looked familiar. I'm like, dude, that face looks so familiar. It's bothering me. And then, yes, Homeward Bound. He was the kid that that had the golden retriever. That, like, that was his dog.
Gotcha. Huh.
That was bothering me so much, because it's almost like in Spy Hard, when you see the Dennis the Menace character.
Mm-hmm.
There's just like a contrast, because you saw him as the kid in that movie, and then now he's like, it's complete opposite, with the kid going back to like, I guarantee it's PMS. Can you help me find my dog? Like,
right.
That's what killed me.
The way he delivers with not anger, not fear, not disgust, but he's just informing his dad at one point in time, Mom's humping the priest. Like, it was so brilliant. Like, he was such a great role in that film.
Absolutely. And the daughter looked familiar as well, but she only had Repossessed and Moonwalker to her credit. So
maybe you watched a lot of Moonwalker.
Excuse me?
Is that Michael Jackson Moonwalker?
Yes.
Segment. Oh, yeah, it is Michael Jackson's Moonwalker.
Oh, man.
I was an actress for a couple things. Oh, what'd you do? Moonwalker and Repossessed. Oh. Michael Jackson's Moonwalker? Yeah. Oh. And what was the other one? Repossessed. Oh. That didn't do well, did it? No. And that's what was something I was thinking, like, towards the end of the movie, when, like, again, just further pushing the envelope, I just kept thinking, because this was released in 1990, so I'm thinking, Todd, you can speak on this. If this movie came out in 84, 85, I think it would have been a lot more popular.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would have been closer to The Exorcist, but the one thing is, this did come out a month before Exorcist 3, so they were kind of still cashing off that.
Got it. Because it seems like a lot of the, it was like classic 80s slapstick humor. It felt, yeah, like, especially with Leslie Nielsen. Then I think that was a year, like, that was starting to be a time when things started to shift away from that.
Right, right.
Like, and they even had Gun 33 and a third versus the original.
Yeah.
Right. And they even had the classic montage in the film. I mean, everybody's got to have a montage during that era.
Exactly. Yeah. And it seems like this was just released at the tail end of that. And unfortunately, I think it suffered because, it had a lot of feeling as Airplane did. You know, a lot of people remember Airplane. I love to ask people, what's the funniest movie you've ever seen? A lot of people say one of them is Airplane. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those same types of jokes were in this movie, but didn't seem they were like ripoffs. They seemed still original jokes, but of that variety. And I think that was a lot that was missed out on when, you know, here comes 1990. Oh, another parody. You know, I think that's what it felt like, I'm sure, to a lot of people. And to your point, Todd, when it was The Exorcist 3, I mean, maybe you can speak on this because I'm not a horror movie guy. What was the anticipation around the third Exorcist movie after 2 had already been released?
Since everyone hates 2, people were looking forward to this one. I love 2, but I mean, Linda Blair's beautiful in that one. So,
when did the second Exorcist come out?
Exorcist 2, I want to say was 81, which now I'm going to confirm though, because...
I realize I have a computer too. But because my point being is that if this movie had come out like a few years after The Exorcist,
it was 77. I thought it was later.
Original the Exorcist 72?
Original is 73, and the sequel is 77.
Wow. See, so essentially this movie, I mean, I understand that there was 2 movies already, but it was, you could say that specifically a parody of the first original, like people are going to think, oh, this is a parody of The Exorcist. So if this was released like in 82, because Airplane was released in 80, that obviously hit with a lot of people. If this was released in 81 or 82, that would have been, I think, not as popular, because we'll get into the rate.
How to be more popular than Top Secret.
Right. So, but I did mention rating, and I'll just start things off because your dog wants me to start with the ratings. So I would say it's a solid, for me, 3.5 stars as I would rate it, because there were some moments. Now, one of the things I like to use as a good gauge when I'm watching a movie, like for me, is if it's a 5-star, for me, a 5-star movie means I'm not paying attention to anything else except this movie. And I'm 100% invested from start to finish. But if there's like some, if there's room in my head for another thought to be like, hey, wait, is the recording using video or just audio today? Oh man, I got to set stuff up as the movie's still going. So that's where I took a star off. And I don't feel at the end of the day, you know, if I'm just throwing this out there, you know, if at the end of my days, somebody has a giant book, they're like, hey, so you gave Repossessed 4 stars. Are you sure about that? I'd probably second guess myself and think, you know what? I'd say 3.5, because a 3 out of 5 stars for me is not enough laughter. But there was plenty of laughter in this one for me. Though it's a good in-between point that I would say just almost 4, but I'd say 3.5 for me. How about you, Greg?
Oh, man. You know, it's tough because there's my initial instinct of it. And I think I'm going along the same route as you are in certain ways, because my initial thought is 4 stars. Because it was fun to go back to that style of comedy. And I hadn't seen a movie like that in some time. And so I think there was a lot of nostalgia that welled up within me for it. But if I took a step back and I really thought about it, you know, I would probably go 3.5. But it, like you said, it's close to a 4, but it just didn't. I never had a moment where, because I hope my boss isn't listening, I was watching it while at work. I did not have a moment in which
you're totally fired.
I laughed out loud, and oh, there were some moments I didn't realize what was in that film, and I could have totally been fired. But yeah, there weren't those moments where I laughed like out loud, couldn't control myself, which is harder to be fair when you're by yourself. But yeah, I'd say a solid 3.5.
Wow, it's across the board. I'm a 3.5 also.
Oh, look at that.
But how have we not talked about calling the action in The Final Exorcist?
Calling the action, you're right. Because we had Jesse Ventura and Mean Gene Okerlund.
Oh.
Done something. That was a complete surprise to me. I didn't remember that at all.
I remember popping hard when I saw it theatrically. Because it was 90, so.
Sure. It totally worked. I loved it.
And we get and this joke? Of the we don't use steroids anymore. We don't use any less.
I was dying. I was like, wow.
way to go. Bravo. Loved it. And ladies and gentlemen, hope you loved the movie, and I hope you enjoyed us discussing Repossessed. I definitely say recommend watching it. Greg, Todd, I think you guys agree. Absolutely.
For sure.
Recommend watching it if you have a chance. We all had copies available to us, but
you can
rent, we don't have any streaming or rent.
You can rent it or purchase it on a Vudu. You can check some of the other places to buy VOD. It's really cheap. It's like $6 to buy. Honestly, you're paying like $3 to rent it. So
$6 to buy a movie you can go back to, I think, once a year. It's a good Halloween parody you can watch. So absolutely recommend it. And then if you'd like to join us next week, you definitely should. We're going to be discussing Young Frankenstein. Mm. I know previously on another show, we mentioned Gremlins 2. We're going to hold that off because we're going to be talking about Dracula Dead and Loving It in a couple weeks. So I think Frankenstein, Dracula, it fits with the month of October. And I hope you enjoy your October celebration of month-long Halloween, you flesh wound fiends. I'm sure you love it. And even if you're just watching this because you like hearing or seeing people talk about funny movies. Either way, enjoy your October. Enjoy your week. Greg, Todd, anything else you'd like to leave with everybody?
Check out everything else we got going on this month of October.
And he's specifically referring to Flesh Wound. You got Flesh Wound Horror. What else? What are the Flesh Wound programs Todd?
We got Flesh Wound Horror. We got Flesh Wound True Crime. We got Flesh Wound Analog Nightmares that is specifically about VHS films not available on any other format.
Goodness.
Flesh Wound Juniors for the kids.
For the kids.
Actually, don't let your kids listen.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it there. But as far as this program, Flesh Wound Farce, we'll be back next week with a new episode where we discuss, again, Young Frankenstein. For Greg, Todd, I'm Ozzy V, and we'll see you next week right here on Flesh Wound Farce.